Time with Fred Allen. Texaco dealers from coast to coast present the Texaco Star Theater, starring Fred Allen, with Fred's guest, Dean Taylor, Portland Hoffa, Alan Reed as Falstaff Openshaw, Minerva Pires as Mrs. Nussbaum, the Texaco Workshop players, Hilo Jack of the Dame, Al Goodman and his orchestra, and yours truly, Jimmy Wallington. I don't have to remind you that your present car has a good many miles to go before you'll get a new one. So make it give you every one of those miles with the care that keeps cars running. Regular care by your neighborhood Texaco dealer. See him for regular changes of insulated Havoline motor oil, the oil that helps prevent excessive wear. See him for regular bar pack lubrication to protect your car's chassis. Drive in at the sign of the red Texaco star with the green T and keep your car rolling for the duration. Ladies and gentlemen, during the past week, most of radio's popular comedians, Bob Hope, Jack Benny, and Red Skelton, left the air for the summer. However, one so-called comedian still remains in radio. And here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Jimmy, you're right. As soon as the weather gets a little warm, all of the radio comedians, they seem to give up their programs.
Say, why is that, Fred?
Well, I don't know why Hope and Skelton give up theirs, but Jack Benny has to quit.
Yeah?
You know, Benny's comedy won't keep in the hot weather.
Well, Jack had some great gags about you last Sunday.
Gags? What gags?
Well, Jack said your face was so wrinkled it looked like the top of a car halfway down.
You see, even on our show, his gags don't get laughs. That he should... wrinkles. He should talk about looks, Jimmy. Benny's face is as wrinkled as a private sleeve after he saluted 20 officers. I have seen more hair in a plate of oxtail soup than Benny has on his head. Now, if I told you the whole thing... Well, Portland, Jesus. Portland, your arrival is timed nicely. We were just discussing a party who left Waukegan as a barefoot boy, and today is bare at the other end.
You mean Jack Benny?
Right. The man with the short arms who carries his money low in his pocket so he can't reach it.
I read that next fall, Jack is going to have a new sponsor.
I know that.
I wonder why.
Well, his old sponsor finally found out that Benny has no teeth. He couldn't even chew those grape nuts he used to talk about. He had to have a friend gum them before he could tell them. You know, on his new program, Benny is going to advertise cigarettes.
Well, at least Jack has lips.
But wait till Benny's new sponsor finds out that Benny has no muscles in his lips. He can't even hold a cigarette in his mouth.
Does Jack's mouth hang down?
Oh, his mouth looks like a limp dimple that talks, really. Well, enough about Phil Harris's straight man, Portland. When those two get together, who is the straight man? I wish we had a good joke right about here.
I know a joke.
You do? Really? What joke?
The man who owns the Mayflower Donut Shop is selling out.
Why is the man who owns the Mayflower Donut Shop selling out?
He's sick of the whole business.
He's sick of... There are enough holes in the script without having them in the conversation, if you don't mind. Well, those are my sentiments exactly, with sugar on them, and I am leaving at once for Allen's Alley.
Have you a question for tonight?
Oh, you bet. This week, Mayor LaGuardia warned that needs of the armed forces during the summer will make greater demands on transportation facilities, and families should cooperate by spending their summer vacations near home. And so our question is, are you going to heed the mayor's warning and spend an at-home vacation?
Shall we go?
As the man with the chill said, I think I'll shake a leg. Down. Well, when he was... was a little boy, his father ran away from home and took the razor, so you really can't. Here we are back in Allen's Alley, Portland. Let's see if I read the street sign the wrong way from right to left. Let's see, been with Chesil so long, occasionally I read from right to left. Let's see if our stout friend the senator is in.
Yes?
Senator Bloat, about Mayor LaGuardia spends your vacation at home campaign. Are you taking action?
Yes. If my bill, the Bloat bill, goes through...
Yes?
Vacations this summer will be abolished.
Well, how are you going to stop people from going out of town, Senator?
If you are a vacationist...
Yes?
When you go to the railroad depot...
Yes?
The man at the ticket window will refuse to sell you a ticket.
But if I give the man an argument about needing a vacation...
He will tell you where you can go. I thank you.
Well, the senator's got something there. The senator's best know how the rind on a watermelon feels. Well, let's try here next door.
Hello, kid. What's cooking?
Well, Mr. Mr. We have any way you want. We get laughs through the nose anyway. Well, Mr. Eat the Pitchers, what are your vacation plans?
Well, kid, for 20 years, I'm always to take the same vacation.
For 20 years, eh?
Sure. Every summer, I'm going to Acropolis duty ranch.
Yeah?
The first day, while I'm getting on a horse...
Yeah?
The horse is broken up a bronco.
Uh-huh.
I am falling off.
Yeah?
I'm breaking my leg in two places.
In two places, huh?
There is an echo there.
Oh, that would do it. That would... Well, you have the same accident every summer?
Every year for 20 years, a horse is breaking my leg in two places.
And this year?
I'm staying home.
You mean?
I'll get a hammer and break my own leg in two places. So long, kid.
Well, Pablo is lucky he still gets the break. Now, let's see what more can happen. Let's try this door here.
No.
Mrs. Nussbaum, how do you feel about the mayor's at-home vacation plan?
I am personally making 200 families stay home.
200 families? How?
I am running American Plan, a summer boarding house.
Oh, really?
Mrs. Nussbaum, Buena Vista Rancho Grande.
Fine. Well, you serve food at your place, do you?
Food, he says. For breakfast, you are getting first Wheaties.
Wheaties, huh?
Then is coming poached eggs on pickled herring.
Yes?
Under the herring is waffles with honey dripping.
Yes?
Next is Farfel Brown Betty with inside meatballs.
This is breakfast?
A la carte.
Oh, a la carte.
For lunch is a heaping mound chicken liver and casserole.
Gosh.
This is floating in sour cream. In which down under I am concealing Blintzes a la King. Finders is keepers.
Oh, that's good. But tell me, this is lunch. What about dinner?
After lunch, who could be eating dinner? Guests is falling on the floor, laying in hammocks, moaning, biting.
Well, tell me. Tell me, Mrs. Nussbaum, how do you get out to your place?
In Jersey, gradually you are coming to it.
Which route do you take?
You are going through the Holland Tunnel.
Uh-huh.
Halfway through the Holland Tunnel, you are turning left.
I see.
This is bringing you to Nussbaum's Buena Vista Rancho Grande.
Well, tell me, Mrs. Ann, if you are running this wonderful boarding house, how are you going to force 200 families to spend their vacations at home?
Uh-huh. This summer they are coming, and the door is a sign.
And the sign says?
Closed for the duration. Thank you.
Brings us to the duplex packing case at the end of the alley.
Alas, alack, willy-nilly, Falstaff's here, the silly Billy.
Ah, Harlequin Openshaw. We have more poems tonight?
Indubitably. Have you heard, I thought she was marrying me for my money, but I found she was after my apple honey?
No.
Or, said the flounder to the whale, why brag of intuition? You're just a sardine with a thyroid condition.
No.
Or perhaps this one. Since they played that game of hide and go seek, mother hasn't found father for over a week.
Now, look, Falstaff, this is the straw that sent the camel to the chiropractor. Tonight we are talking about male LaGuardia's at home vacation campaign.
Precisely.
Well, if that's why you were here and you've written the vacation poem, what is it called?
V is for vacation.
How does it go?
Every winter I plan my summer vacation, 2 weeks of travel touring the nation. Sleeping at tourist camps, gulping down cokes, driving the Chevy, meeting new folks. But this year, with the war, my plans are all changed. I've got a different vacation arranged. This summer I'll be busy spading and hoeing. Back of my house, a garden is growing. I'm doing my bit to relieve transportation by staying at home on my victory vacation.
Well, thank you, Paul. Tonight I'm going to try a new house in Allen's Alley.
Yes?
Jimmy Wallington, what are you doing down here in Allen's Alley?
Well, I'm selling war bonds, Fred.
Good.
Since the liberation of Europe has begun and we realize how well those boys are doing their job, our job is clearer than ever before.
That's true, Jimmy.
We, the American people, must buy bonds. More bonds than ever before. We must buy bonds until it hurts, and then buy more. The fifth war loan drive opens tomorrow. It ends July the 8th. During that time, $16 billion must be raised. The fifth war loan is the most urgent, the most vitally important financial effort of this war, of all history. For world freedom is now at stake. The liberation of the continent must succeed. Every American fighting man must be back to the limit with all the weapons it takes to beat the last Nazi into the earth. This task requires a great self-sacrificing effort on the part of every American. The gigantic goal of $16 billion must be met. So make the effort. Meet the goal. Starting tomorrow, buy at least double the extra bonds you bought before.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Mr. Allen.
Yes, Portland.
I brought my autograph book. Who is our guest tonight?
Well, we haven't any guests, Portland. I have had a terrible week.
What happened?
Well, last Tuesday night, I dreamed I was a songwriter, and in my dream, I wrote a song.
What sort of a song?
Oh, it was a wonderful song about a girl in the whack. It's called First Class Private Mary Brown. In my dream, the words and music came to me as plain as day. They were wonderful. Listen. First Class Private Mary Brown. She wore that uniform like a million-dollar gown.
Gosh, that's swell.
Well, I thought the Army might be interested in a song about the girl in the whack, so I called up a major I know, Major Burroughs. And Major Burroughs said they were rehearsing a war bond show at Carnegie Hall. Well, sir, I ran over to Carnegie Hall. I was just going in the door when the doorman said...
Wait a minute. Are you with the Philharmonic?
No, I haven't eaten for 4 days. That's what makes me look this way. I tell you, I've got a song. First Class Private Mary Brown. She wore that uniform like a million-dollar gown.
Well, don't tell me with that voice you're going to sing in Carnegie Hall.
No, but this is my song. I want to get it in this war bond show they're rehearsing. Now, whom do I see?
Mr. Deems Taylor.
Uh-huh.
I sit here on the stage a minute. Mr. Taylor's rehearsing High Low Jack and the Dame. They're running through a number. Oh. Just stop.
Oh, I see.
Let's get through with the war. I'm hurrying back. Jimmy Brown.
My song. Who's in charge of this rehearsal?
I am.
Who are you?
James Taylor.
Now, look, Mr. Taylor, I'm Fred Allen. You can't get away with this.
Now, please stop yelling, Mr. Allen. This is Carnegie Hall.
I don't care if it's Borough Hall. Where did you get that song, First Class Private Mary Brown?
Private Frank Lesser gave it to me. He wrote it.
A private in the Army writes songs?
Why, Private Frank Lesser wrote Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition. In My Arms, They're Either Too Young or Too Old. What Do You Do in the Infantry? Oh, he's written plenty of hits.
Well, look, let me tell you, he didn't write Private First Class Mary Brown, Mr. Taylor. That song came to me, the same words, the same music, in a dream.
In a dream? Where do you live?
On 58th Street in the same house with Oscar Levant.
Uh-huh. That ex...
I try to live there.
Well, that explains it.
That explains what?
Did you hear this song in your dream? Last Tuesday night?
Tuesday night, that's right. How did you know?
Well, Tuesday night, Private Lesser and I were visiting Oscar Levant, and Lesser sang this song for us.
You mean my dream?
Look, Lesser sings like an auctioneer. You must have heard his voice in your sleep coming up the air shaft.
Well, what do you know? Private First Class Mary Brown, my big song gone. You know, it's lucky I have written a couple of other Army numbers themes.
Oh, you have? What are they, friend?
Well, one is I'll Be One Sad Sack Till My Whack Gets Back. Say a prayer for me when I'm on KP. You know, I think I'll quit radio and write songs. It's a soft racket. You write a song, somebody names it before the gong, or it's on the hit parade. You make a fortune.
Well, it isn't quite as easy as that.
Well, what's hard about it?
Well, before you can write a song, you have to have an inspiration.
And this, you mean every songwriter?
Mm-hmm. Why, even the fellow who wrote, Milkman, Keep Those Bottles Quiet. Had an inspiration.
He did, really? Mm-hmm. You have that from the right from the feed bag, huh?
Yes.
Well, all right. Suppose, if you need an inspiration, suppose it's January, Deems. I happen to see a snowstorm. It gives me an inspiration, and I write a song called Each Little Snowflake Tells Me Everything's Jake With You. Now, my song is written, now what?
Well, first you have to have your song published.
I see.
Then you have to get somebody on the radio to sing your song.
Well, I know Carmen Lombardo.
Well, you can't go right to Carmen Lombardo, Fred.
Why?
Well, Carmen works for Guy Lombardo.
Oh, I go to Guy, huh?
No. You can't see Guy until his agent okays you.
Well, how do I work it?
Well, you take Guy Lombardo's agent, for cocktails every day.
Yes.
Well, 2 months later, he gets you in to see Guy.
2 months later, uh-huh.
You take Guy to lunch for 6 or 8 weeks.
6 or 8 weeks, yeah.
3 months later, Guy sneaks you in to see Carmen.
Yeah.
Well, you take Carmen to the Stork Club. You wine him and dine him.
And as he finishes eating, I whip out my song. Right. Carmen reads it over by the light of his crepe Suzette. And says he'll sing it, right?
No, Fred. Carmen turns you down.
Now, wait a minute. You mean after Lombardo's agent and all the Lombardos have been eating and drinking on me for weeks? Carmen refuses to sing my song? Why?
Well, you wrote your song in January.
Yes.
It's taken you 6 months to get to see Carmen Lombardo.
So?
It is now the middle of July.
And?
Your song, Each Little Snowflake Tells Me Everything's Jake With You, is out of season.
Well, that's a fine finish.
So you see, Fred, being a songwriter isn't what is cracked up with.
Well, I guess possibly there is a possibility that you are right, Deems. There's only one way to make money today. Write a Broadway show. The theaters are coining money. Have you tried to get tickets for the Theater Guild show, Oklahoma, yet?
I have tickets for May 1st.
May 1st? This is June.
May 1st, 1947.
Oh, 1947.
Oklahoma is a sensation, you know.
Oklahoma is the biggest hit New York has had in years. All of the other states are jealous of Oklahoma, Deems. You know, the first man who puts on a show glorifying another state will make a fortune.
Yes, but where can you find a show about another state, Fred?
I have written one, Deems.
No. What is your show called?
South Dakota.
That's a great title.
It is.
Didn't you write a show called North Dakota?
That was 2 months ago, Dean. This is a whole new show. If you think Oklahoma's a smash, Deems, wait until you hear South Dakota.
Why, it sounds bigger than Oklahoma already.
Why, the idea's original, the music is sensational. My show, South Dakota, will make Oklahoma look like Rhode Island.
What's the story of your show, Fred?
Well, as the show starts, instead of having an overture, Deems, three big pedigreed bulls come into the orchestra pit. The three bulls look out at the audience disdainfully and bellow. As the curtain goes up, it's the county fair at Sioux Falls, South Dakota. The natives are singing their state song. Where there's no Times Square, just lots of air, and the men you meet are pretty hairy.
South Dakota, there is nothing there but sky and dirt.
Where the boundary lines are Burma-shaped signs, and buzzards circle round alert.
We know we belong.
Wait, hold it. Quiet. Just a minute, group. Yes, Deems, is something wrong?
Fred, I thought you said your show was original.
Well, it is.
Well, that song's the same as the title song of Oklahoma.
Deems, this song, if you were listening, is South Dakota. Does South Dakota sound anything like Oklahoma? South Dakota is two words with a hyphen.
But it's the... I know, but it's the same music.
How can it be the same music? I wrote this song myself.
Uh-huh. You had a dream the night Oscar Hammerstein played Oklahoma for Oscar Levant.
Now, look, Deems, why worry? I don't get all of my inspirations out of the air shaft. This, after all, is the opening number. We can advertise the show to start at 8:30. We can ring up at 8:15. The theater will be empty. Nobody will even hear the song.
Look, why don't you open the show with an intermission? Then you won't have to use the song at all.
See, that's a good idea. We'll put the show together, take the intermission out of the middle, and put it on before the show starts. Well, that's a swell idea. Thanks. I'll make a note of that. Let's get on with the show.
What happens next?
Well, the second scene in the show is the Hockenlocker Farmhouse in South Dakota. It's winter. Outside, it's 60 below zero. I'm Zeke. I'm just about to ask old man Hockenlocker for his daughter Judy's hand when Judy rushes in and says...
Pa, the hired hand forgot to spot you in Bluebell, your prize sow.
Jeepers, where is she?
Down in the lower 40.
Bluebell's a goner, Judy. No living man can fotch Bluebell on a night like this.
Ah, can fotch Bluebell, Mr. Hockenlocker.
It's 60 below zero outside, Zeke. 60 below's too cold for fotching.
Not for me, Mr. Hockenlocker. Reason weather don't bother me none with my fotching.
You, don't mind the cold, Zeke? I'll come.
Here's the reason. For the cold, I don't give a hoot, 'cause I'm wearing my new union suit. Yes, I'm wearing my new union suit with the hinge on the back. With my hinge, some figure I'm a-cutting. Down the rug, you can all see me strutting. Fits me close and keeps me comfy, and there ain't no slack. The cloth's pure wool and the buttons are brown. The seams sure hold it together. The arms roll up and the legs roll down in case there's a change in the weather. To Sis Roebuck goes all the credit. They made me a suit and I'll never forget it. With that suit there's nothing that any man can ever lack. It's my itchy little suit with the hinge on the back.
Wait a minute.
Yes, Deems. Now, don't tell me that this song is reminiscent.
Fred, did you hear the song, Story with the Fringe on Top?
Story with the Fringe on Top?
Yes, it's in Oklahoma.
Again with the Oklahoma. What has Fringe got to do with my union,
sir? Oh, I wasn't getting personal. I mean the melody.
Well, how does Story go?
Chicks and ducks and geese better scurry when I take you out in the Surrey.
There's something to the melody, the argument you have about the melody, but with that chicken, ducks, and geese,
That is a paltry polka. My song is the saga of a union suit.
But the music.
The music. Who will know it, Deans? A couple of musicians like you and...
Rodgers and Hammerstein.
And Rodgers and Hammerstein.
And their lawyers.
And their lawyers. Well, so let them sue. It's possible, you know, the two brains might have the same idea.
Yes, only it took your brain a year to get warmed up.
Now, look, Dean, if you want to pick on my show, at least wait until I finish. The next scene is the big wedding scene. The justice is saying...
Do you, Zeke Allen, take Judy Hockenacker to be your wife?
Do.
And do you, Judy Hockenacker...
Hold on, Justice. This letter just come for Zeke.
Who's the letter from, Zeke?
Says here, Selective Service. Hold on, folks. The wedding's off.
What's the letter say, Zeke? You're pale.
I'll tell you why I'm pale.
His arthritis is bad and his feet hurt. Oh, his tongue's like a motorman's love. His life isn't gay, what a start for a day. With that old Uncle Bradford a look in his way.
Oh, what a miserable morning. Oh, what a horrible day. Instead of getting married, they're putting me in 1A.
Yes, they're putting me in 1A.
Well, Dean, don't tell me you heard anything like that in Oklahoma.
Fred, this is the worst case of robbery since Jesse James laid that pistol down.
Now look, Deems, you're in the music racket. Confidentially, don't all songwriters steal from Chopin, Tchaikovsky, and Nick Kenny?
Well, I'll tell you, Fred, you see, most of those fellows are dead. Oscar Hammerstein and Dick Rogers, who wrote the Oklahoma story, are still living.
Well, at least I'm no ghoul, Dean.
You know, I'm president of ASCAP. I think I'll call Oscar Hammerstein.
Now, look, Deems, live and let live.
But how can you bring your show to Broadway?
Well, I'll do what they do in all those moving pictures. Just before my show finishes, I'll come out on the stage and say, ladies and gentlemen, any resemblance between the music in South Dakota and the music in Oklahoma is purely coincidental. And then...
South Dakota, where the radio's going on all day.
And the natives prance to the national bond dance. And when they make hay, it's really hay.
Hey! We say, there's
the open
mountain
line.
We're only saying you're doing fine. South Dakota, South Dakota. S-D-S-O-U-T-A, South Dakota.
The Texaco Star Theater, starring Fred Allen, will return next Sunday at the usual time. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.